Good morning, Free Chapel. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to welcome all of our campuses today. We deeply appreciate each and every one of you being a part of this amazing series. It's just been incredible the last few weeks, what God has been doing. And today we are just in an amazing way blessed. We have the pastor of Life Church. Life Church, whether you know it or not, is the largest church in the United States of America. And they are ministering to over 100,000 people, real live people, in buildings. And on top of that, their online audience is enormous. And it's because they love the Lord and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Craig Groeschel and his wife Amy have been married for 33 years. On a personal level, I don't know of anyone that I look up to more and respect more than Pastor Craig Groeschel. Such integrity, such godliness, and wonderful parents, amazing leaders, just a leader in every area, and someone who has poured into my life. And you know, he was the one who challenged me. All of our campuses, you wouldn't be in existence had I not had an encounter with this man. And he kept pushing me, you need to do campuses. You need to do campuses. And change the whole trajectory of our ministry, to be honest, because he got my mind to wondering, would it work for us? And we have all these campuses now, because he planted that seed. We love you, Pastor Craig and Amy. It is an extreme honor. You know, I think this is the only place he's preached this year outside of his own pulpit. And I've had the honor of being on his board, and I know this ministry and what they do for God. It's astounding. Would you stand to your feet, and would you give a warm welcome at all of our campuses to Pastor Craig Groeschel?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Honor to be with you. Can you just, why don't you touch the person next to you and tell them, Pastor Jensen looks even better with a beard. Go ahead and be seated if you will. I didn't know if he could get any more handsome. And now he's got the spirit of the Wolverine coming to preach. Now, it is a massive honor to be with you guys today. I love your pastors more than I can describe. And we had kind of the biggest moment in the church. It was your pastor that I invited in to preach to our team. And it is an honor to be with you guys. A big welcome today to all the Free Chapel campuses. I was just with you all in Orange County on the front row shouting down your pastor a few weeks ago. And if we're anywhere near a Free Chapel church, and I'm not preaching, I am on the front row because I love what God is doing. If I were you, I would thank God I get to be a part of this place every day. You're under anointed, powerful preaching, and the best of the leadership. Your pastor is amazing, one of my closest friends. It is an honor to be with you. My assignment today is to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects. My assignment is to talk to you about marriage. I have been married almost 33 years. We have six kids. You can clap for that. Some people look at it kind of weird, right? In the early years, people would ask us, do you know what causes that? And I would always say, yes, we do, and we're unwilling to give it up. All God's people said, amen. And it is a very big blessing. And so I want to just get the groundwork covered today. What is today's date? Today's, we're in what, February? February the what? February the 18th. What's the year? Let's just be on the same page. 2024. So it's February the 18th, 2024. So I'm going to ask you what day it is and you say it, because this is important, okay? What day is today? It's February the 18th, 2024. Would you just touch the person next to you, lean over and say, in case you're wondering, it's February 18th. Now lean over to your second choice, the one you ignored the first time, and tell them it's February the 18th. If you're watching online, just type in the comment section, it's February the 18th. Now, if it's September 21st, you can type that in there, because maybe you're watching it later. Just whatever the date is, type it in the comment section. But as for us, what day is today? It's February 18th, 2024. And the reason why I bring that to your attention is because years from now, some of you will look back and you will say it was February the 18th in 2024 that God gave me one thing that changed the trajectory of my marriage. Today, I'm gonna give you one tool, and it's the simple tool. And it's so simple, you're gonna say, like, that was simple. When I tell you what it is, you're gonna go, that was really simple. But it is so simple, and I believe with all my heart, for some of you, if you will adapt this tool into your marriage, that years from now, you'll look back and say, it was February the 18th, 2024, that we started doing something that changed the trajectory of my marriage. Are you ready for the word today? Do you have your Bibles with you? If you do, open them to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, it's pretty easy to find. If you're new to the Bible, it is the first book in your Bible. Very easy to find, Genesis chapter 2. And I'm gonna start in verse 18. This is the word of God. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." And all the women said, "He's a mess. He needs me for everything. He can't find his way anywhere. Yes, he needs help. It's not good for the man to be alone." So God said, "I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. You don't want to see what I'm about to do to you. He put him into a deep sleep. When the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man. He looked at her, and scripture says, he said, "At last." Everybody say, "At last." You can only imagine, like, the Adam sitting there and he's going, like, "Okay, God, you did the giraffe and that was cool. And the porcupine and that was confusing. But the woman, at last," he says, the man exclaimed, "this one is bone of my bone and flesh from my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken out of man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife." Say it with me. And the two are what? The two are united into one. The two are united to become one flesh. The good news is that God will call many of you into a holy covenant called marriage, and God loves to unite two to become one. God wants a unified marriage. God wants to unite. The bad news is our spiritual enemy wants to divide what God unites. The good news is that God is working. The bad news is the devil is attacking. And if you haven't noticed, the devil's coming after marriages and families right and left. One of the ways I think that it's easy for us to become dissatisfied, discontented in our marriage is you look around on social media and you see other people's fake lives. Who knows what I'm talking about? We'll see all these marriages that look perfect, and then you look on and say, "I want that, I want that, I want what they have, I want that." And I wanna tell you, that is not real. It's not real. I'll show you just how real it's not, just for fun. Amy and I tried to recreate what we see on social media. I'll show you a couple of photos. First thing is this. This is something that you have never done. You have never been driving along and thought, "Hey, let's pull over on the side of the road and let's get in the back of our vehicle. And what we're gonna do is lift the hood and then lay down and kiss each other while our four-year-old tries to get the perfect picture so we can post it." You've never done that before. You've never done it, but Amy and I, we actually have. This is a real life incident where we pulled over on the back of the road on a really cold day and did that because that's obviously real. This is something that I guarantee none of you have ever done. If this next photo is, you've never ever been watching Netflix and just said, "Hey, let's just take a break and go get those cute jeans that have holes in them all over, and then we'll kind of wear matching tops. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna lay down on the back of our sofa, and then I'm gonna lift you up in the air while we look into each other's eyes while our 9-year-old takes pictures." Don't fall when we do this. That's not real, but this is real. Amy and I do this all the time. You may be wondering why I'm wearing socks. I did that for your benefit because my feet are 90% toes and it would gross you out. You would get saved if you saw my feet. You'd call on the name of Jesus and pray for me. This next one is not only not real, it's just not even wise. This is what this guy right now, he's trying to decide if he wants to stay with this girl or not. What do you think? Should I stay with her? Should I not? We're not nearly that dumb, so we just got on our back porch on this one and just did that. Everybody say, that's not real. Well, what you see on social media is just not real in any sense of the term, but people look on and they go, I want that. They don't even know what that is. What is that? I don't know. That's like true love, like walks on the beach and candlelight dinners in Paris and make out sessions by the fireplace wearing designer jeans under our designer comforter, you know, whatever. My Pottery Barn comforter, that's just not real. And yet people try to get those things all the time. If you ever look at a picture of Amy and me on social media and you say, I want what you have, I want to tell you what we have. If you ever look on and you say, I want what you have, I want to be really, really clear what we have. It is special. And it is God-honoring. And we are crazy in love. We are so flirty, it is ridiculous. We had a person live with us for a little while. First day in there, I just came up and I grabbed Amy in a very flirty way. And my daughter, who was like 9 years old, that said at the time, said, believe me, when you live with them for 5 minutes, you'll get used to that. That's just what it is. The problem is, when I'm flirty with Amy, it never works the same way twice. You would think if I would say the same thing, approach in the same way, I'd get the same response. But I can come up from behind and kind of give her a little love squeeze for the glory of Jesus. And on one day I do it, I'm cute and playful and adorable. And I can do it the next day, the same time of the day, the same way. The sun is even in the same place. I say the same thing and I do it. And I'm a pervert and I don't know why. It's a mystery, but it's the way women are. And so what we have is amazing. We have a rich, meaningful prayer life. We have 6 grown children that are all serving Jesus in the church. I got 4 son-in-laws that are all serving Jesus in the church. Got another daughter getting married to a guy in 1 month who's serving in the church. And I'm broken heart because she's my baby. And I'm trying not to like him. The problem is I do. And I'm trying hard not to like him, but I do. And so they're getting married. And if you kind of roll your eyes and go, you guys are, you know, gross, you know, you've got your perfect little preacher marriage. God bless you, little preacher marriage. I also want to tell you that we have complications. We have complications. Amy is beautiful, but that chick has a temper. Don't let her fool you. She's the tougher one in the family, for sure. She is incredibly stubborn. I'm hard-headed. She explodes, I withdraw. We have what I call constructive conversations. That's preacher code for knock down, drag out fights. Last time we got in a fight, Amy came crawling to me on her hands and knees. And she said, get out from under that bed, you coward, and fight like a man. One time, she threw a shoe at my head, and I caught it with one hand and put it on. That made her even angrier. She's hung up on me. More than once, she tried to get out of a moving vehicle. Any of you ever done that? Just curious. Praise God. There's 2 other people that are weird. We fight about how I drive. We fight about how she drives. We fight about how late she always is. We fight about how uptight I am. We fight about where to eat, what to eat, how I eat, how I don't eat. The good news is we never go to bed angry. The Bible says, do not go to bed while you're angry. We never go to bed while we're angry. Last week, we didn't sleep until Thursday. But we didn't go to bed angry. And when we were in bed angry, we didn't go to sleep, but we followed the international fight rules for couples in bed. When you are in bed and when you are in a fight, no one's ever told you this, but you know it's true. You don't let your body cross into enemy territory. There is no touching. You are back to back, not looking at each other. If by chance her foot drifts in your way and your toe accidentally touches, you pull that toe back and say, you're not getting any toe anytime soon. You can touch your own toe. That's what you do. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you can relate, I've got some good news for you. Because today is February the 18th, 2024, when God is going to give you one ridiculously simple tool that could change the trajectory of your marriage or impact your future marriage. Jesus said this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, but seek what? Everybody say the next word with me. He said, seek, not seek second, not seek sometime, not seek whenever it's convenient, not seek whenever the Spirit moves you, not seek when it's Sunday morning and you know you're supposed to be in church, but seek what? He said, but seek first. And what do you seek first? You seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then all those other things that you are worried about and wanting and desire, all these things will be given to you as well. When does Jesus give you those other things? He gives you those other things when you seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first. Notice Jesus did not say to seek first a great marriage. A great marriage is not your first priority. Your first priority is seeking Jesus. You seek first a great. You seek first Jesus. He didn't say seek first to have your kids on the honor roll or the traveling team. One of the best ways to mess up your marriage is to be a child-centered parent. You seek Jesus first. He didn't say seek first the big house with the perfect countertops and the walk-in closet with clothes everywhere so you can walk in and touch them all and say, I have nothing to wear. He said to seek first the kingdom of God. Before anything else, we seek the ways of God, we seek the heart of God, we seek the values of God, we seek the principles of God, we seek the truth of God, we seek the will of God. Before anything else, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto us. Society has it all wrong. When it comes to love, society says seek what makes you happy. Or society tends to believe that to really be fulfilled and happy in life, you have to find the perfect one. To really be fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. The reason your life sucks right now is because you haven't found the right one. To really be happy and to fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. You have to find that perfect one. You know, the one that smells good and the one that walks just right and the one that when she does her hair like that, it makes you go do like this. You need to find the one that makes all the love songs on the radio make sense. You need to find the one that you love so much that you'll buy a plastic walrus because she likes what. You need to find the, to really be happy and fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. And so when somebody meets somebody and they're like, oh, he's so amazing and oh, he's so funny and oh, she's so sweet, I think I met the one. But the problem is when Jesus was asked this question in Matthew 22, they said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? What did Jesus say? What is the most important thing of all? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Jesus said you should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. Before you look to love anybody else or anything else, first you love the Lord your God with every part of your being. You love God with your heart and with your mind and with your soul and with your strength. You love him first, you love him most, and then you love others as you love him. So instead of saying, I think I met the one. I think I met the one. Oh my gosh, today I think I met the one. If this happens to you, you're going to say, oh, I think I met the two. I think I met the two. Why? Because in a Christ-centered marriage, Jesus is your one and your spouse is your two. Come on, somebody. In a Jesus-centered marriage, it's centered around Jesus. He is your one. That means your marriage is not your one. Your kids are not your one. I kind of implied this earlier, but I feel like I need to stay here again. Your kids are not your one. Some of you, you're not loving your kids good. The reason you're not loving your kids good is because your marriage is centered around your kids. You want to really love your children? You put Jesus first. You want to really love your children? You put your spouse second. The best way to love your kids is to love Jesus and protect your marriage. You seek him first. You seek him first. You seek him. I think I met the two, because in a Christ-centered marriage, Jesus is your one and your spouse is your two. Now, before we look at the tool and hint, the one little tool we're going to talk about today has to do with seeking first the kingdom of God. It has to do with loving God first with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. But before we do that, I just want to acknowledge that there are a lot of you that are not married. And I want to just acknowledge that to be married, to be in the will of God. Seems to me you could make a pretty good argument. Jesus served God faithfully and he was never married, right? You guys are being quiet. I'm gonna say it again. I use a weird voice so it sounded sarcastic. Jesus was not married and he served God well, and you said, amen. Because it's obvious, you don't have to be married. Single is a whole number. But some of you, you'll be called to singleness. Others of you are called to be married. Just for fun, show of hands, how many of you are not married? You're single right now. Raise your hand. Leave them up for a second. Just leave them up. Leave them up. Just leave them up. Just kind of look down your aisle. Look behind you. Look in front of you. Just take a minute. Just take a minute. This is better than online dating. Just take a minute. Just take a minute. And just see if something happens. See if your eyes don't meet. See if when your eyes meet, you don't feel something burning inside. And then just... when you just kind of walk down the aisle carefully, you know, you're looking at her, you watch, you checked her praise finger, there was no finger on her praise hand, and just, you're just walking down the aisle, and you just kind of on your way out, just kind of go up and say, hey, is it hot in here? Or is that the Holy Ghost burning inside of you? Oh, hey, good to see you. You remind me of my Bible. I just want to memorize you. Just do that. Just a little bit of like that. Just don't do that one. That one's bad. Just say, hey, is your name Faith? Is your name Faith? Because you're the substance of all things I've been hoping for. Just something like that. You know, just something like that. And then if you have like a Holy Ghost connection and you have a kid, just name him Craig. Because God sent me here to help you find your two. And because Craig is a name that no one calls babies anymore, I've never met a baby called Craig. We're just instantly born as grown-ups. So, if you are not married, and you have a desire one day to have a God-honoring marriage, what is the best thing that you can do today? Again, really, really simple. If you want a Christ-centered marriage in the future, what do? You live a Christ-centered life today. If you want a Christ-centered marriage one day in the future, live a Christ-centered life today. And I talk to people all the time. They're like going, oh yeah. One day when I get married, I'm gonna settle down. I'm gonna really honor God then. And we're gonna get involved in the church then. And we're gonna be really focused on God then. And you know, one day then when I have kids, we're gonna really get focused on God then. But now I'm gonna just do my thing, you know, because I kind of got my own needs, you know, and I kind of got my things, and you know, I'm doing my thing. And I just want to remind you that your thing apart from God is sinful. And if you want to live a God-honoring life in the future, live a God-honoring life today. Remember this, you don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. You don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. So if you want to really please God in the future with a spouse one day, then let's start pleasing Jesus in the way that we live today. So those of you that are married and you say, I want to have a Christ-centered marriage, what do? Let's talk about it for a moment. Can we acknowledge that there is a vast difference between saying that we're a Christian couple versus saying that we're a Christ-centered couple? There's a difference. Are you a Christian? Like, well, yeah, I'm kind of Christian, you know, not Muslim, you know, I'm not Buddha, I'm a Hindu. I'm kind of a Christian. We go to church on Easter. We're kind of a Christian couple. There's a big difference between saying that we're a couple that, yeah, were Christians and saying we have a Christ-centered marriage. There's a big difference. If you want to have a Christ-centered marriage, Jesus is going to be at the center of all your decisions. How you talk about money, how you talk about raising your kids, how you talk about disciplining your kids, how you let your kids interact with technology, who you let your kids run with. You can't control who they run with, but you can control what environments you put them in, okay? It's gonna determine how you speak, the shows that you watch, your uses. It's gonna impact everything if you're a Christ-centered family. So how do we have a Christ-centered family? If I would have taught this 10 years ago, I'd have given you a ton of principles because there are so many that are important. I would have talked to you about being rooted in the church, that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. I talked to you about church. I talked to you about community, that your friends matter. You're becoming like those around you. I talk about you being in a real, genuine, Christ-centered small group. I talked to you about being in the Word daily. I talked to you about righteousness. I talked to you about confessing sin early and quickly, not letting sin reign in your life. I talked to you about serving together in your marriage. I give you a whole long list. What I've discovered, though, is that if I come here and give you three things to do, the odds are very high you're not gonna do any of them. So what I've learned to do is lower the bar. And I'm gonna ask for one thing, and it is a ridiculously simple thing. And today happens to be February the 18th, 2024. And some of you, years from now, you will look back and say, it was on February the 18th, 2024, when some guy, I can't remember his name, came in and told them funny stuff, showed these funny pictures, but he gave us one challenge. And we accepted the challenge. And we started doing this together. And it changed the trajectory of our marriage, and we have never been more Christ-centered than before. The assignment is very, very simple, almost offensively simple. But the reality is most of you are not doing this, and if you do, it can change your marriage. The assignment is this: simply pray together every day. Pray together every day. Some of you go, oh, crap, I shouldn't have come today. I don't want to do that. Now I'm a loser. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. It's too personal. Pray, personal. It's funny when people say prayer's too personal in marriage, like I can't pray because it's too personal. Like, you go to the bathroom in front of each other. Is that personal? It's gross, but personal. You kiss each other, right, with your tongue. Blah, 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 little tonsil hockey, that's personal, right? You swap and spit, you know, the right? You guys are like, you don't do that. We don't do that, only with the lights off. You have babies together, that's personal. You can pray together. And when I talk about praying together, what's interesting is you rank high on what I call, you are well-discipled Christians. You've been under great teaching of the Word, but even the most discipled Christians, the percentage of couples that actually pray consistently together is embarrassingly low. Why? Because God loves to unite two to become one. And when there's agreement, there's power. And the devil loves to divide what God wants to unite. And so if I were the devil, one of my strongest tools to keep Christian couples from ever being Christ-centered, to keep them from that, I would talk them out of praying together. Because when two or three gather together, there's power in that household. So I want to tell you, you can pray together. You should pray together. You're going to want to pray together. And if you say, I'm a little hesitant, I'm a little uncomfortable, I'll tell you right now, I understand. I can relate. Because Amy and I did not pray together consistently for many, many years of our marriage. And I felt bad about it, and I would start doing it for a little while, and then I'd stop. And the reason that I didn't like praying with Amy is because I didn't like how long it takes her to pray. You laugh. It takes a long time. I mean a long, long. I get so bored. I think one time the Holy Spirit told me he was bored, honestly. I just do. It's like, it goes on and on and on and on. And not even just like the prayer part, but the warm-up. It's like, you know, okay, let's pray. And then she's like, okay. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, Jesus, get started, Jesus, get started, Jesus. It takes you forever and ever. And so we didn't do it. And we start and do a couple days and then we'd stop and I feel guilty and I feel like a big old loser because we didn't do this along the way. I want to tell you right now that if you choose to pray together and make this a consistent part of your marriage, it can change your marriage. And let me just tell you a few ways. It is really, really hard to pray intimately when you're mad at each other. So if you're praying every day, you got to work through some stuff before you pray. Another thing is, it's really, really hard to live in ongoing, unconfessed sin when you're praying intimately. You know that porn problem? You tend to deal with it when you pray together every day. Got real, real quiet in here. Maybe I should move on. Jealousy, anger. When you pray together, guess what? You also talk together because you talk about what you're going to pray about. And you start communicating more about your kids or what's on your heart and on your mind because you're praying about what's on your heart, what's on your mind. And then what tends to happen is you don't really skip church when you're praying together because they're like Monday, oh, we didn't go to church yesterday. You feel kind of guilty. So you get a little bit more plugged into church. And when you're more plugged into church, you're under God's word, you're with God's people, you're in God's presence, you're strengthened by God's power, and you're doing more of God's will because you're in the house with God's people. When you pray together, it's amazing how you're more prepared to fight off against all the temptations of the evil. And if I were the devil, I'd try to talk you out of it. Because this is what Jesus said about two being united. Jesus said in Matthew 18, I tell you that if two on earth agree about anything they ask for, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two of you come together in agreement in the name of Jesus, it'll be done, God says. For wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So let's just get real simple. How do you do it? If you're gonna pray, how do you do it? I'm going to give you three really, really simple thoughts. And again, I'm going to put this on the bottom shelf. You do not have to stay on the bottom shelf. What I'm telling you is a baseline. You don't have to keep it here. If I put it on the top shelf, ain't nobody going to do it. I'm going to put it on the bottom shelf. Are you ready? Three thoughts. Number one, here's how you pray. Keep it short. Do I have to? No. But if I tell you keep it long, you're not going to do it. Let's just start short. Keep it short. Number two, keep it consistent. And number three, if you miss one day, don't miss two. There it is, February the 18th. The day that you heard the message and might apply the tool that could change the trajectory of your marriage. Keep it short. Why keep it short? Because if I tell you you gotta pray together an hour a day, nobody's gonna do that. And so just start with short. Like it might be like, dear Jesus, help us do your will. You may start there. I put a prayer in my notes for you, one sentence. You could pray this, you could pray this. Dear God, keep us close to you, away from temptation, and always in your will, in Jesus' name. Let's pray that together. Let's just practice, just so your lips can actually do this. Just say it, ready? Here we go together, one, two, three. Dear God, keep us close to you, away from temptation, and always in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep it short. You pick a time. Amy and I, we do this right before I go to work. And we have to keep it pretty short because I don't have time for a long prayer before I go to the office. And it's short, but guess what it is? It's consistent. And it's a part of what we do. You might do it before you go to bed. You might do it after dinner. Whatever it is, you keep doing it. And what happens is you may start short and then one day the Spirit moves and you get a little longer. One day it's, dear Jesus, help us to honor you and do your will. Next day is, dear Jesus, we honor you, help us to do your will. And oh yeah, we pray for Harold for his surgery. And next day it's, oh dear Jesus, help us do your will. Thank you for what you did in Harold. And oh, we pray for our daughter today. And the next day is, oh, dear God, help us keep in your will, but work in our daughter's life. And oh, yeah, Father, we ask that you would provide. And then one day, God, we ask that you guide. And then God asks that we comfort. And God, whenever we're heavy laden and we're burdened, God, we come to you and we seek you, God, and we beseech you to be upon us, God, and we bind up the enemy's attacks against our marriage, and we tell him that he has no place in this marriage. God, we believe that according to your word that we are blessed when we're coming in and we're blessed when we're going out. God, when we are heavy, we will cast all of our anxiety on you, God, because you care for us. And God, we declare that we will not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, we take our request to you, God, because you are faithful, because you are a good God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds and our souls in Christ Jesus. We know you're a good God. You're a faithful God. You are working in all things to bring about your will, oh God, according to your power and purpose. We know, God, we can do all things through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us strength. God, may your will be done on earth and in our marriage as it is in heaven. You keep it short. You keep it consistent. You miss a day. You don't miss two. And oh yeah, if you're not married and you want to be married one day and you want to have a Christ-centered marriage in the future, live a Christ-centered life today. Like you can pray too today. Just start today. You can pray for whatever God puts on your heart. I would suggest you pray for your future spouse. Really powerful. If you have a desire in your heart to be, you start praying today. What do you pray? You name it. Like protect her, bless him, keep them in your will, keep them away from temptation, keep other people away from them, raise them up for me. Work, Lord, quickly, do whatever, clean up whatever in your life needs cleaning up in Jesus' name. Do it now and come quickly, Lord Jesus. Just pray. This is what I did. When I, before I was a Christian, I lived a wild life. I was building my testimony. Somebody said amen over there. Huh? God bless you. You were there with me, right? This is a wild life. And so when I came to Jesus, I had to detox and get all the ungodly stuff out. So I did. I called it dating Jesus. It's kind of weird. This was the 80s. Just work with me. I said I was dating Jesus for 2 years on Saturday nights. I didn't go out. I stayed in my room. I drank near beer, non-alcoholic beer, because I was getting off of beer. And I would journal how I wanted to be a man of God for my future wife. And I would listen to cassette tapes on marriage. If you don't know what a cassette tape is, you can Google it, or you can ask your grandma. And I would listen to cassette tapes on marriage. And then I wrote out love notes to my future wife. I had a whole shoebox full of love notes in that time where I was praying. And so when I met Amy, God showed me she was my two. You see what I did there? Because he's my one, and she was my two. And so about 3 weeks into it, I took these shoebox full of love notes, and I said, for the last couple of years, I've been writing love notes to the one who's gonna be my wife one day, and I just believe these are for you. And so she read them and cried all the way through them. And that's why we have six kids, in case you're wondering. And it was an emotional moment. And at the end of it, I said, really, seriously, and if things don't work out, I'm gonna need that shoebox back. February the 18th, 2024. When you look at any kind of post on social media and say, I want that, just remember that's not real. Let me tell you what's real. What's real in a Christ-centered marriage is two broken people desperately in need of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It's people dealing with spiritual attacks every single day, trying to overcome their flesh, trying to overcome their selfishness, fighting off very well-planned strategic attacks of the enemy against our family and our kids. And the best way to fight is to stand united. And the best way to stand united is to stand united in prayer. Father, we need you. We need your power. We need your grace. A Christ-centered marriage is full of integrity. It's full of God's word. It's full of scripture. It's also full of trials because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. He said, I've overcome this world. It's full of disappointment, hurt, forgiveness, and healing in Christ. That's what's real, and that's actually really, really good. So before I preach, two things happen. One is I take a step forward. It's kind of weird. I just take a step forward, and what I'm doing there is I'm stepping out of my insecurities because, like, I'm new here. I don't know if you're going to like me, and I'm kind of nervous. So I step into the anointing, into the authority of God's word. I'm stepping out of myself, and that's what I do. It's a ritual, and then Amy always prays for me. Every time before I preach, she prays for me. This photo of her praying. And let me tell you what we're praying for right now. We have 6 children. One of my daughters in particular, at the age of 20, 2 weeks before her marriage, got sick and never recovered. Here we are 8 years later, and she has ongoing, significant, serious trials with a chronic illness that has not gone away. At our last family gathering, her husband pushed her out to the gathering in a wheelchair because she was unable to walk. And so we join hands every day and we pray for Mandy every day. And we pray for God's protection for our children. We pray for God's will for our children. We pray for our church family. We pray for family members in the church that are hurting. We pray the name of Jesus and claim healing and restoration in marriage. We pray for spiritual intimacy. And some of our prayers are short because I'm going to work. Others of our prayers are really long and really powerful because we've developed the spiritual intimacy to do battle together. When we pray, here's what happens. Jesus is our one, Amy is my two, and I'm three. And what does that make? Whenever two or three gather together in his name, he is there in the midst of them. And in his presence, we call things that are not as though they were. In his presence, we ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In his presence, we believe that the name of Jesus is above every single name. In his presence, we believe that there is no weapon formed against us that will ever, ever prosper. In his presence, we believe that we have his power, that we have faith to believe that mountains would move, that we have faith to believe that demons would flee, that we have faith to believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we stand together. Two are better than one. We stand together in his presence, calling on his name. It is February the 18th in 2024. And I don't know who this is for. If it's only for one couple who says, from this day forward, we will seek the one with our two because there is power in agreement. If you adopt this one single simple tool. I don't promise the perfect marriage. I don't promise a problem-free marriage. What I promise is the power of Jesus meeting you daily to meet every single need. And we serve a God who will do more than all you can ask, think, or imagine according to his power that is at work within you. Don't do marriage without his power. Today, I'm seeking the one with my two, and you'll never be the same. So, Father, we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would do a work. We are seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. We are loving you, God, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people. When you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.